Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Two, Scherzer to Flores. Just outside. He went around. Strike three. Gabe Morales, the first base umpire. The Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series. These two teams won 109 games coming into this one. One game separated them in the standings. One game separates them in the National League Division Series, and one run separates them. The Dodgers win 2-1.
Hi, everybody.
And in any great rivalry, there's a little controversy.
Oh,
and so
my.
They tied along the way. The Dodgers beat the Giants 2-1 on a check swing call on a third strike to end it. Yikes.
A hell of a walk, though.
That is fantastic way to keep a rivalry alive.
Oh, isn't it, though? What a fantastic way to end the game if you're not a Giants fan. I mean, seriously, like that ground ball up the middle through the shift by Bellinger in the ninth inning to break the 1-1 tie. And then, look, we can debate all day what a swing is in Major League Baseball. The fact of the matter is, guys, I don't know if you know this or not, there is no true rule in Major League Baseball defines a swing.
Good stuff.
There is no rule in Major League Baseball for what defines a swing.
Wait, I thought that's where we got the basis for all the analysis of what's a catch. I figured that was based on something like
what is a check swing. There is nothing. Here's the rule for what is a check swing, what is a swing in Major League Baseball. Here now, let's see if you can figure this one out. And the ending is what really is the winner here. A swing is an attempt at a pitch that is not a bunt. That includes what is referred to as a check swing or half swing. It is up to the judgment of the umpire if a batter attempted at a pitched ball.
Oh, my God.
Contrary to popular belief, a batter does not have to break his wrist in order to attempt at a pitch. While noting whether the swing carried the barrel of the bat past the body can aid an umpire on this call, the final decision is based on whether the batter actually attempted at the pitch. It is a judgment call.
Oh my gosh.
There is no rule on the books for what determines what is a swing. Just like holding in the National Football League, it could potentially be called either way on every play. And that umpire at first base was ready to go to dinner last night.
That's one to grow on, Ryan, too. I mean, go ahead and pull that. I did not know that.
I didn't either until today. Until today. I had
there was
no
some
idea.
Probably rule about the angle of the bat or,
right,
you know.
Right. No, it's a judgment call. It's 100% a judgment call by the umpires in Major League Baseball.
I'm sure that makes the Giants fans feel better today.
Yeah, right. It's going to tick the Giants fans off. I mean, but you know what? The Giants also batted 120 with runners in scoring position in the series. So, I mean,
the opposing manager told him who was going to pitch.
He was going to pitch when he didn't have to. Now, I did talk to somebody in baseball about that yesterday. I go, is this common practice? They go, yeah, it actually kind of is. I'm like, really? Why?
So Dave Roberts, Dave Roberts decided to switch up his pitching rotation at the last minute.
Well, he didn't decide to switch up his pitching rotation. The powers that be in the organization.
The analytics department who determines lineups.
That's right.
Switched his lineup for him.
Thank you.
And decided it was going to be a bullpen game.
Yep.
He sent a courtesy text to Gabe Kapler and said, we're switching pitchers.
Right, we're going just with
thought
the bullpen
game. Just thought I'd let you know.
Which I thought was bizarre.
Ahead of the game, and I'm like,
sweet of him.
I'm like, wow, that's really nice, but...
That's
like,
sportsmanship at its finest, right?
Those unwritten rules
can't you just show up at the ballpark and go, we changed our mind.
Yeah.
And called it good, and everybody would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently...
that would have never happened in the NFL.
No, God, no.
He sent a text ahead of time and said, guess what?
Yeah.
We're doing this. Just want to give you a heads up. And you guys can get to work on this.
Right. And the follow-up text was,
wow,
what every one of his hitters can't hit well. So Cody Bellinger can't hit the fastball, and Justin Turner can't hit a curveball. And like,
that's amazing. That,
right?
That it's common practice, too.
Yeah, I thought that was
secretive
something.
Secretive of the world of sports is, right?
Yes, correct.
It never happened in the NFL.
I thought he sent him that text because he was ticked off that his analytics department made him change who was pitching that night. And the comments before the game by Dave Roberts were very, I thought, like, harsh. And he's like, look, he goes, you know, this is a group decision. This is what the organization decided. I have one vote in it. So I thought he was ticked off that they made the pitching change. So he's like, screw this. I'm telling Gabe Kapler, who's pitching tonight.
I had one
and
vote.
Giving the guy the heads up. He did. He said, I got one vote. I mean, so when you hear that.
And it's not a veto vote either.
No, not at all. Like, not at all. Some guy with the analytics department is up there making decisions for what's going to go on. And look, it ended up working. They won the game. They only gave up one run. La-di-da. There was a couple of rough first innings there. The first few innings, I should say, were a little bit rough out there for the Dodgers, but they got through it. They found a way, and
bro,
they
I'm
won.
Risking my life.
And I'm not going to sit here and say they won it because of the bullpen game or anything like that, because nobody's even talking about that now, Josh. That's like so yesterday's news with this check swing in Major League Baseball. And we can sit here and feign anger and all of this kind of stuff. And baseball needs to do something about this, but it's a judgment call, and that's the way you leave it, because I don't think you really can put a true rule on the books for what defines a swing, because in that moment, unless you're going to go to replay, in that moment, how the hell do you know as an umpire? I mean, honest to God, you're looking up there. It's a boop like that. It's quicker than that. It's quicker than this. It's quicker than this. And you have to make a call at that point in time. And you just based on what you saw, unless we're going to go to replay and allow these check swing calls to be reviewed, and then you're relying on a judgment of somebody in New York City as well.
New York City.
Right. But, you know, it's to me, it's like, it is what it is. It's part of the game. And was it a bad judgment call? Yeah, I probably think it was a bad judgment call. I don't believe that he looked like he was trying to truly offer at that pitch. It looked like a quick check swing to me. But I'm not the umpire on the field who had a dinner reservation last night at Ghirardelli Square.
I mean, you know, I've said this a lot, like, one thing replay has taught me is like how often umpires and officials actually get it right.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
You know, and so
yeah,
like it is a little stunning because I think prior to instant replay being a big deal in sports, like we all thought they were blind. Everybody needed, oh, you got to get glasses, ref. And like,
right,
we all were that
the
guy.
The three and, blind mice and things.
And then
yeah,
suddenly we're like, holy crap, that he was right. That's pretty good. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that they get it right every time.
No, they don't.
But I think the vast majority of the time, the good ones do. The ones that you don't know their names, they usually do.
Yeah.
And so, like, there is a piece of me that understands that end of it. But if it's going to be a deciding call like that, yeah, you have to at some point intervene and have some type of second, you know, pair of eyes take a look at that. Because honestly, you can't have something get decided on a call that's completely subjective. That's just,
yeah,
that just feels off.
Well, but again, was that the deciding call of the game and the final call? Yeah, it was. But again, I go back to you hit 120 with runners in scoring position in a 5-game series.
I just really give credit to umpires and referees and stuff now, because I don't know how the rest of you watch games necessarily, but you really have to train your eyes to focus in on what's happening the first go around.
Yeah.
Because we all know we're getting umpteen replays of everything for the most part. And I feel like that first look might throw you off because you're like, well, I don't know. If I don't see it correctly the first time, I'll just, you know, check the replay, whatever. They can't do that.
No.
You have to focus in on what's there in the here and now. And I think you really probably have to train your brain and your eyes to be doing that, realizing that you don't have that second opportunity unless there's a problem, and then you send somebody over to the monitor to take care of it.
Yeah, and you know, umpires and referees, we never talk about them when they do a good job. Nobody ever says, man, that was a great job by Ed Hockley today, or Angel Hernandez was great today.
Like, or the umpire, that's your judgment call. You made the call.
You made the call. It's up to you. It in the rule book, it is a judgment call
goes,
by the umpire.
People, and then storms off the field.
Right, and the rule is, did he offer? Did he look like he was trying to offer at the pitch and swing at the pitch? And if that umpire down at first base last night thought he did, then he did. And we have to move on. I'm glad it's not our team that was affected by that. Like, can you imagine, you know, our friends in San Francisco today and what they're talking about on the radio? Because I can only imagine it's all about that umpire last night.
Because right now, I think it's great because it is a storied rivalry.
Yep.
That Vin Scully, the legendary voice of the Dodgers, said last night was the biggest game in their history.
In the history.
Against one another.
Mm-hmm. And he even talked about the Bobby Thompson one, the shot heard around the world. He goes, that was a great ending, but that wasn't a great game like this one's going to be.
And a 2-1 game where the game-winning run comes in the top of the ninth and the bottom of the ninth ends with a check swing. I mean, that's rivalry right there.
Right. That's baseball. That's sports. That's great.
The season series was tied and all those things.
I think like the overall series was tied too, like in career wins and stuff.
Charlie Steiner was mentioning, and so... wow. I mean, that's one that eats at you for a long time.
Yeah.
If you're in the midst of this rivalry.
But if you're the Giants, I mean, I know it's tough to look back and go, this was a team that was predicted to win 75 games and they ended up winning, 106 or something like that. And so they well exceeded expectations. And you've got to think, you know, as a Giant fan, all right, we're off and running now. We've got ourselves a great, you know, a nucleus, a great springboard. We surprised people when we shouldn't have, and we went out there and won a lot of baseball games. Congratulations.
You're speaking like someone from afar.
You're absolutely right.
This season was a waste.
Right. Yeah, you're ticked about
failure.
It. You're mad. No, I get it. I totally get it. We'd be saying the same thing if it was the Royals
to calm them and say, it's okay, man. Look at this, man. You accomplished a lot. It's not happening in San Francisco.
Right. No, it is. No, it is not. And it is not happening out there. And I feel bad for them because
they're probably firing people right now.
Yeah. But I mean, you have to take a step back from it and take a deep breath and realize, man, we had 106 wins this season. A lot of teams in baseball would take what the Giants did. But that's what happens with these judgment calls, holding in the NFL. And we saw a holding call kind of burn us a couple of years ago in that playoff game against Pittsburgh. Remember that Eric Fisher holding call? You know, we've seen judgment calls here in Kansas City have an effect on us. And so we saw it last night. It just so happened to be that was on the biggest stage for baseball last night. It was the only game in baseball everybody was watching. It's Giants-Dodgers, and it comes down to a judgment call at the end. But as like I keep saying, nothing comes down to one call in a game. You had 9 innings and 9 different opportunities at the plate to knock in runs, and you just couldn't get the job done. And so that's ultimately what it comes down to. But, yeah, the check swing is what everybody's talking about, and I don't know that you can put a rule, Josh, in place to say, well, if it breaks the plane, how do you know in that? I mean, how do you know in that situation what constitutes a swing?
Without
replay.
Yeah.
Without replay.
And do you want to replay check swings? Not really.
No, not really. Nobody. They don't want to replay drop foul
Nobody
balls.
Does. Chiefs get a couple players back to practice yesterday in Anthony Hitchens and Jaron Reed. But, Charvarius Ward, Chris Jones... still out of practice. Those two didn't play last week. I'm not real optimistic. They haven't practiced for 2 weeks, essentially. Yeah. I think Ward's now on the 3.
Thank God. Finally happened for me.
Tyreek Hill's been on the practice or on the injury report all week. That's not good. Joe Tooney seems he might be able to go with the cast. And Blake Bell remained out. So a long list of injuries heading into to Sunday's matchup with the Washington football team. And oh, by the way, Andy Reid gets to play another former assistant. So.
Yeah, I'm proud of him. I don't like getting beat by him, but I'm proud of him. I mean, you know, bothers me. But period. I mean, losing games, I'm not big on. But listen, they're good coaches. So and Ron's the same way. Ron, you know, they're well coached.
I just want to get guys jobs. I don't want them to come back and then beat me.
Don't want to play them.
You know, unlike Belichick, who has an agreement, I think, with these people. I
mean, yeah.
Andy's a little looser, like, hey, I'm here to get you a job. I, you know, rather you didn't beat me, ha ha ha. And they're like, he's like, no, I'm not kidding.
No, I'll get you the job, but you're not going to beat me.
No, I'm kidding. I don't like that. Don't do it.
Don't beat me at all. But yeah, the injury stuff, I still maintain from what I've been told, Joe Tooney will play on Sunday. I'm not really concerned about that one. But, you know, if you're out another week without Chris Jones, I mean, really, so who's going to step up? Mike Dana going to step up on the defensive front? He's going to have to. He's going to have to be a player for you, you know, at that spot again. And he's been pretty solid all year long. And, you know, Charvarius Ward is out. You know, you clearly have problems with the defensive backfield right now. We got problems at all levels of the defense. And so, you know, you look at the defensive line, the linebackers, and the defensive backs. You got problems everywhere along the defense. And I don't think anybody right now really has any answers to help fix the defense. It's not get guys back from injury. It's not go out and acquire new talent. It's like, what are you guys doing out here, man? We signed you because we know you're good football players. Go out there and become a good football player this year, too.
And we can then maybe make our Mecole Hardman as Tyreek Hill assessment.
That's
Tyreek Hill can't go again. So, joy. Can't wait for that one Sunday. Yeah. Noon kickoff. I'll join Mitch Holtis, Dean and Hughes on the call. 106.5 The Wolf. Doting on Mahomes. Maybe doting on Andy. Next.
Fesco in the Morning. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Andy, I wanted to ask you this one. So I was kind of looking back at your history with the Washington football team, and it was a few years ago now you traded Donovan McNabb to the Washington football team. And then once you got out to Kansas City, you traded Alex Smith to the Washington football team. So I'm just curious if there's any chance maybe Patrick Mahomes, you're going to trade him to Washington.
Well, that's not happening right now. But you guys would like him. I know that. He's a good guy. But your quarterback there right now is a scrappy player, man. That kid is playing his tail off. So, but we're glad to have Patrick right here.
That's funny.
Andy Reid appearing this week on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. His former player, Brian Mitchell.
Never heard of it.
And they asked him if he'd trade Mahomes to Washington.
He said not now.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just say no, never?
Because Andy won't commit to stuff like that, but he should have.
He should have. He kind of left the door open there a little bit, right? May be a day that we trade him to Washington, you know?
Patrick Mahomes is a chief for life. That should have been his answer.
Exactly. Well, not right now. What do you mean not right now?
He owns part of the baseball team.
Right. Yeah.
Ship him out of here.
And Andy doesn't have, Andy can be held to whatever because he's not going to be here at the end of Mahomes'
career. How do you know?
Well, I mean, assume.
You know, how do you know?
It's true.
I mean, do we see Andy going anywhere anytime soon?
It's true, but I can't see, like, you know, 10 plus years from now, Andy Reid's going, see, I told you. I was
75 on the sideline.
90-year-old Andy Reid rolling out there on a rascal.
I'm outlasting this guy.
he deals Mahomes to London and says, see, that's why I didn't hold myself to that back in 2021 in that Washington interview.
That's
I
right.
knew I was going to trade him later in his career.
Yeah, eventually. Well, Andy's got the pattern of doing that. You know, did you ever think Donovan McNabb would get traded to the Washington football team, you know, from the Philadelphia Eagles? No. And Andy Reid did that. And Donovan McNabb is one of my favorites of all time to watch play. I don't know if he's one of the greats of all time, but he's a really good quarterback, one of the best of his generation. And they traded him away. Once his play started to decline, they got rid of him. Look, the Colts got rid of Peyton Manning. The Patriots got rid of Tom Brady. I mean, it looks like the Packers are probably going to move on from Aaron Rodgers. They've already moved on from Brett Favre. I mean, you see these teams do this a lot with star players and quarterbacks in this league. No matter how good they are, you're only long for the world until that team that has you wants you.
And about the team, examples, you're fortunate to be able to deal them, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And not have to just
cut them
part ways because they want to be out or whatever.
But think about the examples you just gave, though, with Tom Brady and with Peyton Manning. I mean, there's what, two Super Bowls right there with those guys after they left?
After they
left their teams. I think it's fair to say, like, Aaron Rodgers will be competitive when he goes, because he's going to get to hand choose the team that he's with, much like Tom Brady did, and I mean, much like Peyton Manning did.
And so, Brett Favre, too, was competitive. I mean, he went to the NFC Championship game with the Minnesota Vikings, and if he doesn't throw an interception, they may end up going to the Super Bowl that year.
Were the Jets any good?
I can't remember if they were.
Like, I remember Mark Sanchez, like, took them to the AFC Championship game, and he was the one that replaced Favre, right?
Didn't they go back-to-back?
God, I don't recall. So Sanchez went back-to-back. I know for a fact Sanchez went back-to-back to those AFC Championship games. I can't remember how far Favre took them. He was only there for a year, wasn't he?
He took him.
How far he took him. He was only there a year,
showed his nuts and left.
Right, yeah, one of those type of things. Yeah, he was there like 10 minutes, ruined the party, and they kicked him out. You know, he was that guy, the party crasher.
He was wearing Crocs before they were cool, though.
He was,
He worked
yes.
quickly then.
Yeah, he did. He, okay. he got his work done, and he left. So Brett Favre was like a year with the Jets, and in a couple of years, I'm guessing, with the Minnesota Vikings. So star quarterbacks get moved on from all the time in this league. I mean, when you say, well, you can never trade Patrick Mahomes, well, that's what Patriot fans thought. That's what Colt fans thought. That's what Packer fans thought. And the great quarterbacks of this generation that we've kind of are living through, and at the end of it, you're talking about, you know, guys that were traded, guys that were left, you know, to go, guys that the teams moved on from. Like, there was no way they should have ever moved on from Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, but yet they did. So it was an interesting question. I thought, you know, ha, 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 funny. And Andy's like, well, not now. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe he leaves the door open a little bit. But it kind of got me to thinking, like, is it Andy or is it Patrick? Who is more valuable to this franchise? And I'll make the case both equally together are here at the right time for
we're
each other.
The Bill versus Tom.
No, we're not doing that at all. But I was just kind of thinking, like, you know, Andy needed Patrick and Patrick needed Andy, right? I think Andy needed Patrick to get over the hump, to get that Super Bowl championship,
sure,
to have that dynamic player. He needed Patrick Mahomes more than he's needed any other player. I also think Patrick Mahomes needed Andy Reid, because if Patrick Mahomes came into this league under, you know, a Doug Buffone or somebody like that, or if, you know, I saw somebody tweeting out yesterday that Leonard Fournette was drafted one pick or something like that ahead of Patrick Mahomes in Jacksonville at the time. What if the Jags did take Patrick Mahomes? Is he this style of quarterback? Is he considered the best in the game today if he's playing for Jacksonville? And I think the answer to that question is no. I don't know that there's ever been, in my opinion, in Kansas City anyway, the perfect match that we're seeing. Andy needed Patrick as much as Patrick needed Andy. They needed each other together. The stars aligned. They got together, and they've done unbelievable things. And I don't think either one is as successful in their careers without the other.
Probably not. But moving forward, I would take, you know, Patrick versus time.
Yeah, sure,
to steal
of course.
For Tom,
yeah, right.
Tom versus time. Patrick versus time. I'm Patrick's more important moving forward.
Moving forward, yeah,
right?
I think so.
But
yeah,
the initial development of things. Yeah, you know how I feel about ruining quarterbacks and teams that make changes.
So many are ruined.
I think he'd be pretty good wherever he landed, but he could have a total disaster of a team, and who knows?
Right. You know, you're with Jacksonville, and you don't have weapons. You don't have offensive lines.
Step in this situation. You know, I'd much rather do this and go through the 1-16s or whatever of Aikman or 1-15 or whatever, and whatever Trevor Lawrence is going to go through.
0-17
in Jacksonville and those types of things. He just stepped into such a you know, great situation with an established team and an established coach and program and everything that's a you can't ask for a better better transition.
Well, and that's the thing. He stepped into an unbelievable situation, not just having Andy Reid at his quarterback, but he's taking over an offense where the year before, like, Alex Smith was putting up crazy numbers of 4,500 yards passing. Yeah. I mean, this was a great offense without Patrick Mahomes. He made it greater at that spot. So he walked into an unbelievable... Not many quarterbacks take over a franchise at that young age and walk into a plum situation like Patrick Mahomes did.
I don't care what happens later, like, as his career goes... He's really going to be a bitter old man if he ever goes, man, if I only played in year one.
Yeah, you know, sure, what I mean? Sure.
Like, you know, some could say that, man, if I played early in my career, it would have made all the difference. If he would ever go back and say, man, if only I played in year one, it has to be only a ha-ha. Imagine what numbers I could have put up rather than a bitter, you screwed up my career type right. thing. So it's the perfect situation.
I mean, I do think there's some perfect storm aspect to it, but also I think that you kind of have to take one of those flyers and say, I think Mahomes is a talent that's going to be talented regardless, right? Like, if we're going to sit here for the last 3 years and talk about how he's the greatest thing to ever happen to football, I think that some of that would have been true regardless of where he landed. Would there have been a bigger learning curve? Yeah, likely he would have had a much larger learning curve in Jacksonville or someplace like that.
Yeah.
But I think about how, like, Adam Gase gets a lot of credit for Peyton Manning. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
No, Peyton Manning gets a lot of credit for Adam Gase.
Adam Gase was absolute garbage everywhere else. And that never translated, right? Like, a lot of these guys get this tab of quarterback guru and nothing really comes to fruition when they leave and go away from having, you know, a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. So I think that you have to give a lot of the credit, the bulk of the credit, to the athletes themselves. I mean, those guys have that skill. And yes, Andy Reid, you know, honed some of that, but I mean, it's still a learning curve, and Patrick Mahomes is still learning as well. So I don't think he's the one that just absolutely made him who he is. Again, it was a perfect storm. You came into a great situation, yeah. A great offense. Usually rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks don't get that advantage, because if they're drafted that high, usually it's because you're going to a very crappy team. So, like, all of those things play into factor. But no, I think Patrick Mahomes would have been successful regardless of where he
was. It would have been real interesting if he did get drafted by the Jags, and we have the answer to the question of, can Patrick Mahomes make less talent, like, good around him? We definitely would have seen that in Jacksonville,
right? Do you think he's, you know, Patrick Mahomes if he goes to the Bears?
If he goes to the Bears, like, if the Bears take him instead of Trubisky?
Correct.
I don't think he's as good, no.
Or if he goes to the Texans, if he flopped the Watson.
Who was the coach? I think it was John Fox at the time, right? Didn't Nagy take over for John Fox up there in Chicago? Or was there that guy who wore the eyeliner? Who was that guy? Yeah, it looked like he always had eyeliner on. That he coached in Canada for a while.
Mark Trestman.
No, yeah, I don't think he was the coach. He wasn't the coach then. So I think it was John Fox at the time, but I don't know if he has success up there. Maybe the Bears do draft him. Maybe the Bears do draft him. The Chiefs don't have the success. Maybe Nagy never takes over in Chicago. Who knows what the trickle-down effect happens to be, you know, with Patrick Mahomes. But no, I don't think Patrick Mahomes experiences the greatness that we're seeing without Andy Reid. I think he's good, but I don't think we see the greatness that he has. I think it is the perfect storm for the two of them.
Bob has found a backer for his radical onside kick plan. Hear from who next?
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in Friday edition, Fesco in the morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing.
Hello.
Hello.
Shout it out now at 7:50 for those of you that just...
And it's been fantastic.
It really has. So. Pat Daddy and Mrs. Pat Daddy are not happy about it, but they're going to have to live with it. Well, I told you, you can see them November 13th at the Mouse Races at St. Thomas More to benefit the BMA Foundation. You can confront Pat Daddy and Mrs. Pat Daddy about Shout It Out Yourself.
Or actually, they can confront you.
I don't have any to confront them about.
Not confront, that's the wrong term to use, but talk to them about it. Have a nice conversation about it, you know? So, put it on your calendar.
A little back and forth.
November 13th, BMAFoundation.org. Make your reservations now. Pat Daddy and Mrs. Pat Daddy will be there to address Shout It Out at 6:30.
Why don't we call her by her first name and then Mommy? Why does it have to be Miss Pat Daddy?
Because it just works that way.
So anyway, they're the ones that were mad about Shout It
Right,
Out.
They're mad,
I think
yes.
The rest of you are cool with it. I don't know. It's at 7:50 now. Since we've had some people...
Not too many people, yeah.
Convert and move to 7:50. So it's now it's 7:50.
Mm-hmm. Come hang out with us and the new person we're dating. It's fun. See how much fun we're having together.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, here we are. Oh, I didn't know you'd be
Come
here.
Come on, pull up a table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So late in the show yesterday, Fesco unveiled a radical plan to try to, quote unquote, help the Chiefs. Which involves...
But we're all helping, Josh, right?
Yeah, trying to help. There's no such thing as a bad idea, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, maybe.
Sometimes, but not in this case.
So you have determined that the Chiefs should do this every single opportunity.
They should kick the onside kick after every score. Enough kicking it deep. I said yesterday that Andy needs to go into Dave Tobe's office on a random Tuesday morning and say, listen... Because that's what he says. Listen, you're the special teams guru. You're one of the best out there. I need as many different variations of the onside kick because we're no longer kicking deep. Time's yours. And then walk out the room and let him come up with that. Now, the recovery rate is not great. It's 8%. But I still like those chances better than putting the defense out on the field. And
but
you say,
you can try to steal possessions.
Yeah, one, you can definitely try to steal possessions.
Right?
Yeah.
And two... which is my favorite part of it, that if you don't believe in the defense, just let them score faster.
Let them score faster. Yeah, let them score faster.
And then get the ball back.
And then pull like the Cleveland Browns and drag the guy across the goal line so you can get the ball back and they can't milk any more of the clock. And so radical times call for radical ideas. Mm. And you may say to yourself, well, what about field position, Bob? How different is it? Well,
How different is it?
Well, Josh, I'm glad you asked. Oh. The average onside kick is recovered at the plus 47, so at the opponent's 47-yard line. So you only have 47 yards to go for the goal line. The average kickoff is just actually 27 yards back, roughly the 26-yard line. So you're giving up 27 yards of field position, which, it's a quarter of the field. But as we know, against this defense, it's giving up 7.1 yards per play, which is on pace to be the worst in the history of the game. That's like four plays, and they're going to be down there anyway. And so you know they're going to give up those plays, so you might as well give them the head start. But... 8% of the time it works every time, and you can recover the onside kick and steal a possession. I'm looking for outside the box ways to do things because right now it's hard for me to have confidence that that defense is going to get a big time stop.
What is the college coach that's now doing this?
A guy at Presbyterian College. His name is Kevin Kelly, and he's
did this in high school.
He took it to college. Okay. Yeah, he's won 9 Arkansas State championships in high school. He was 216-29-1. He's basically the Grinnell of football. It's
the onside kick every time except if they're up by 3 touchdowns or something.
Correct. Yeah. If they're up 21 or more, he did not onside kick. He didn't want to run the score up and rub it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So what he decided to do was kick deep after that. But I think if you're a Chiefs
team. Right away, if you got the lead and blah blah blah, then you do it normal.
Then
this
you do
is just
normal.
To try to steal a bunch of possessions
steal
early,
possessions.
Bury a team early,
right?
In the high school ranks anyway.
Knock them out early.
It's radical. I didn't think there'd be really maybe anybody on your side, but we found one. Our buddy Kyle Brandt from NFL Network likes your proposal.
I'm 100% in.
Thank you.
I'm in. I'm like on Shark Tank. I want to tell you that I am in. And there is always, you always hear about, you know, these high school coaches or there's a college coach, Presbyterian, where they're like, their thing is, we always go for it on a fourth down, no matter what. So the only slight I would have against your theory is that I don't think it goes far enough. I think you onside every time. I think you go for it on fourth down every time. And every time you score, you go for two, no matter what. So no punts, no kickoffs, and no extra points. And that point, that way, could maybe compensate for this defense, which, as you pointed out again, is so far past being the worst in the AFC West or the worst in the AFC or the worst in the NFL or the worst of the decade. The worst, ladies and gentlemen, ever. So drastic times are called for drastic measures. And by the way, I think they could probably do some pretty good onside kicks. Why not?
He totally agrees with me. He likes the idea. He's 100% behind it, and he would go one step further, going for it on every fourth down. Might as well. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have an issue with them going for it on fourth down. I feel good about this offense that they can manage to get a couple of extra yards on fourth down. It feels like to me too, though, Josh, and not just against the Chiefs, but around the NFL, we're seeing a lot more teams go for it on fourth down this year in the league. And maybe that's just perception because I do watch the Chiefs a lot and teams are going for it, especially the Chargers. But it seems like right now, get your eyes off the Kraken highlights. I know they got their first win. We're talking Chiefs right now.
What happens.
I think you're seeing teams go for it more on fourth down. And I think right now, you know, as we're seeing this defense, we're now through five games. Andy recognized right away that this defense was bad. He started changing the way he called offensive plays in the third game of the season. He recognized it right away, and I appreciate him for that. But you still may have to go one step further and go, all right, we just can't rectify it by controlling the ball on offense and being balanced on offense. We may have to do some things that are outside the box to kind of flip the script a little bit right now. Just like teams had to do against the Chiefs for a while, man. You had to try to flip the script, steal possessions against the Chiefs. Well, it seems like with this defense and the way that they're playing right now, the Chiefs may have to out-chief the Chiefs and try to steal possessions back because their defense just can't get the job done.
I mean, I appreciate the effort. I appreciate we're all trying. We're all trying, but they won't be picking this one up anytime soon. But it'd be fun to watch. It does feel like something that completely.
No, we'll just continue to try to throw deep against teams who are not letting us
completely work in high school. The onside kick plan. I'm saying it completely work in the high school ranks, and you would. And then you've seen plenty of high school teams, too, that go for two all the time and usually don't have a kicker.
Well, they don't have a kicker. That's usually, why. Yes.
It's usually what that is. They have the big lineman that toe smacks the kickoff. They don't have anybody that can place kick, and they just go for two all the time.
Correct.
So I could definitely see how that would happen. I don't think that – plus, you can't just say we really, really don't believe in your defense, and we have no hope for you, and so this is what we're doing.
But what have they done to give you
hope? This is what we're doing. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine that meeting? Oh. Defense is going, what?
Yeah, we're not going to put you back out there on the field ever. We're going to do everything we can to keep you on the bench.
We'd just rather have you guys guarding 47 on in.
Doesn't everybody want to get paid to have the day off at work, no matter what you do? Don't you like paid days off,
guys,
right?
I'm going to put it this – sell it to you this way, defense. I mean, you could defend the whole field. We're only going to make you defend like half the time now.
Yeah, you're not going to be out there that long. We're cutting your work time in half. Right?
Same pay.
We're
going to cut your workload in half and the same pay. I mean, America would love to have
that. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, it'd be
right?
Like,
I love it.
It'd be getting like a full remote job.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want that?
Correct.
Or taking
your job that's not remote and making it remote.
I would say I would love to see that pitch meeting. It's not that we don't believe in you guys. We're just gonna take something off your plate here. All right. And that's guarding one half of the field. Yeah.
Don't worry about the minus side of the field. Just take care of that plus side of the field.
We'll
be all right.
And if you guys we're not even gonna be mad if you give up scores.
No, not at all. It means we get the ball back quicker.
We know we're making it a little bit hard on you, okay? Right. You made it hard on us for the last couple of weeks. We're paying the same amount of money. You're only going to guard half the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win for all of us.
It is. I see the way you're thinking now. You're convincing yourself in it. You've convinced the defense that this is a good thing for them. We're going to demote
you.
And we're still going to pay you your same salary, but you're going to be in a closet by the boiler room next to the janitor.
It's not you, it's us.
Right.
Or something.
Wow. That's a great idea. I like the way you proposed it to the defense, Josh. That was well done. You only have to work part-time. Same salary, half pay.
It's American dream.
Yeah.
Come on. Our full conversation with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, Good Morning Football. He joins us each and every Friday at 8:20. So stay tuned for that. CEH not playing, of course,
at the running back spot for the next 3 weeks. That's definitive. There's a whole bunch of injuries on the injury report, but definitively, we know Clyde Edwards-Helaire will not be out there. And so everybody getting the back of one Daryl Williams, including his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy.
Daryl has been doing this for a number of years now. He's a very smart and intelligent player. He's done a lot of great things. Obviously, he hasn't had the opportunity to play as much as everybody would want him to play, but there's a reason why he's here, okay? Just like you said, we always coach our backups to be starters, and we want him to be ready. Wow. He's more than ready. This is the opportunity that he's been waiting for. You never want to jump on an opportunity when players are hurt, but when those opportunities are presented, he will maximize it and go and do the things that we know that he can do.
There you go. There's their Daryl Williams pep talk, if Daryl needed one.
Daryl needed one. I don't think Daryl needs a pep talk at all. I don't think anybody needs a pep talk for Daryl Williams. You and I have both talked about it. I like Daryl Williams. I don't see the need to really go out there in this offense and spend a big chunk of change on a running back. Andy has done an amazing job at fitting running backs into this system and making them good and getting great value out of running backs right now. And I think a lot is going
we
to be.
We know how much of Kling loves great value.
That's so true. It is a great value brand of everything. So you should be loving Daryl Williams right now because he is a great value for a running back,
he's
right?
He's a great value CEH.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely
he's
is. It scores touchdowns.
Pop star, that's awesome.
He's a guy that gets the job done maybe better than the big name brand, right, of CEH. And I think Daryl Williams does a really nice job. But I think it's going to be important, you know, going forward, you know, not just this week, but moving forward with this team to run the football. And I expect good things out of Daryl Williams because I came across this stat this morning. The 2018 MVP, that's Patrick Mahomes right now.
I was doing counting on my fingers.
Counting on your fingers, yeah. 2018. Seems so far ago right? And so Patrick Mahomes right now, get this. Sit down for this one, Josh. I know you're cracking excited over there about your hockey team getting its first win. But he has fewer completions over 20 yards this year than Jared Goff, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Taylor Heinicke.
Patrick Mahomes has fewer 20-yard or more completions than, that's not a great
Lions,
list.
Jets, Patriots, Washington football team quarterbacks.
Yikes.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of those teams are playing from behind and having to throw the ball downfield a lot.
But they do complete it.
Yeah, they are completing it.
That's true.
Yeah, they are completing
that
it, right?
Teams might be giving it to them as well. Like, you know, teams haven't been giving the deep ball to the Chiefs, but enough excuse making.
Right. I mean, you've got to change your offense. You've got to change what you're doing. Okay, we love the deep ball. It's clearly not there this year, right? So you have to evolve. You have to change. And that's why I think Daryl Williams this week, next week, and the following week until CEH potentially gets back into this lineup, the running back position, to me, takes on extra emphasis right now. You have to run the football effectively if you want to start completing those highlight reel plays, which I know Andy and Patrick love. But unless you're going to run the ball and soften up that defense and make them respect that run, the days of up over the top every other play are done in Kansas City.
The Chiefs defensive coaches are trying to make their case. Next.
This is my brother Daryl. That's my other brother Daryl.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Seems like a strange time to have access to all the assistant coaches for the Chiefs, but
hey, why not?
Here
right?
we are, 2-3.
No time better than the present, Josh.
If I'm the head coach, I go, you guys go out and answer what's going on.
That's right. I've said enough. I got nothing else to talk about. It's your turn now.
Well, asking me what's going on, why don't you guys tell them what's going on?
Yeah, see if you can answer these questions.
So a bunch of the Chiefs assistants.
All the defensive assistants, it seemed like.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Spoke
the offensive assistants.
Yeah, no one needs Mike Kafka right now, really.
Who?
Mike Kafka.
Oh, yeah.
The quarterback's coach.
I don't know who that is.
Yes,
I don't
you
care
do.
To find
don't
out.
Even pretend like you don't know. So, all the position coaches on the defensive side rolled out yesterday, including one Dave Merritt.
I never even heard his name before.
You've heard of Dave Merritt. He's the defensive backs coach of the Chiefs.
I never heard of this Joe Mayo.
Ryan, have you heard of Dave Merritt?
His third season.
I heard his name, yes.
Like fringe Dave Merritt. Like
I never heard him speak.
If I came up to you yesterday at about 9 a.m. and I said, tell me who Dave Merritt is.
I'd Google it.
But you wouldn't know off the top of your head.
I knew he'd be a Chiefs coach.
I would have said he's an NFL assistant coach.
Well, then you would have been an accurate.
Yeah, but I would not have said Kansas City.
You'd said Dave Meggett?
Yeah, that's
who you would have said.
But I think Dave Meggett's in prison, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think Dave Meggett
that
was
took a dark turn.
No, yeah, I think Dave Meggett is in jail. Yeah, let me look that up.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, I think he it says Dave Meggett jail comes up right away, so yeah.
Do you still check that jail thing, by the way?
Not recently. I know where my friend is located now, so I don't know. Okay. I'm kidding. No, I haven't checked that recently. You have somebody in mind? Because that Board of Prisons website is really good. The Federal Board of Prisons has a website. You can look up inmates and see where they are, even the famous ones.
I
think the last time I looked that up, Josh, to be honest with you, was when Aunt Becky went away and I wanted to see where she was headed.
Oh, wow. You got a 30-year sentence.
Oh, he is in jail, huh?
Well, it's got a 30-year sentence. I don't know if he's still in jail.
Yeah, well...
Huh. All right.
So there you go.
Dave Merritt.
Criminal sexual misconduct and burglary.
Yeah, it says right there, Meggett, South Carolina Department of Corrections, ID number is 003-43610, is serving his sentence at the Lieber Correctional Institution in Ridgeville, South Carolina. Early possible release date, July 6, 2034.
That's very easy to look up, by the way.
It was Wikipedia, Josh. I just Googled Dave Meggett.
Oh.
And clicked on the Wikipedia link.
This wasn't the prison website.
You think anybody's got his prison jersey?
Probably not, but I'm sure you could get it. He was a really good special teams player.
What was his number again?
30. He was actually number 30.
No, yeah. I was talking about his prison number.
Oh, his prison number is number 003-43610. Isn't 3610?
That's a lot of numbers to try to get on a jersey, Ryan, if you're going to.
That is a lot of numbers on a jersey for a Meggett jersey.
So this is where I'll pause and say, absolutely sorry, Dave Merritt.
Yeah, not the same guy.
With the defensive backs coach for the Chiefs on a week where we're wondering what the hell was going on in coverage. He tries to answer.
I just think that right now there's a lot of guys that's playing with, poor eye leverage.
What?
And just reading your keys. And one of the things that I talk about all the time is alignment, technique, keys, and assignment. And so when you go into these games and you have a particular alignment that you should be following, you have to make sure you do that. And when it comes to your keys, that's the eye discipline. And so that's really the issues that has been going on is just some of the eye discipline.
That's right. Eye discipline, Bob.
Eye discipline.
That's right. Not looking the right spot, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Eye leverage. Poor eye leverage.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
DNP, poor eye leverage.
Yeah, eye leverage. I'll tell you what, these guys have poor eye leverage right now. So, really? This is where we are?
Yes, eye leverage.
If I'm looking at you and I'm supposed to be watching you, I got to watch you. I can't all of a sudden go watch someone else. So whether you're coaching Pop Warner, Little League, your kids in basketball, if that's your man, you teach your kids to cover that guy. You don't turn around and just start looking somewhere else. Oh, there's a bird. Oh, there's a butterfly. No, you cover your guy. That's what I mean.
That's right. You always had that kid when you were little that was...
Is he implying the Chiefs are looking at butterflies?
There's a bird on the field.
Back in the day when we played on grass fields that had weeds. I mean, these spoiled kids nowadays playing on this turf and whatever.
Yeah, there's no birds around anymore.
They have to deal with that. But you always had the kid that was, kind of doing his own thing and, throwing...
We love having
weeds
the guys back on grass.
Picking the grass and not paying attention. Apparently, we have a bunch of those here.
Well, now they're picking those little rubber bits out of the AstroTurf.
Yeah,
that's what the kid's doing now.
Eating older the cycle tires. Yeah. That dumb.
So just keep your eyes on them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we called that eye leverage.
Eye leverage.
I think we're at a point in time now,
though. Don't get distracted by the bird.
We're
never had an eye leverage contest?
We're making really bad excuses right now for what's going on. We're in week five, and we're rolling out poor eye leverage.
I would say not excuses. But
look at a butterfly.
Yeah. Realizing how back to basics they've had to go.
It sounds like it.
He said, go back to Pop Warner, your kid playing. This sounds like you're rolling back to fundamentals. Like, come on.
Well,
don't do your job. One, and your job is to guard that man. Go guard that man. Like, we're really breaking. They're really breaking it back down to its to its bones.
Let's
let's bring it back to Daniel Sorensen and the two plays that he got burned on. I think that that does kind of apply, though, to
his
him
eye leverage
a bit.
Was in the backfield.
In the backfield.
Wasn't
should have been
on the tight
receiver.
End
now,
running down the field on
you
it.
Know, and now he's covering for 15 seconds back there because nobody's getting to the quarterback.
Correct.
So you probably think the play's over at that
correct.
Point in time. So that's why you take your eyes off and boom, they hit you over
you
the top.
You try to focus on looking at something for 15 seconds.
It's hard. It's hard, especially when it's moving quick like that.
15 seconds, there's no way he's still got the ball.
Exactly. I mean, so Daniel Sorensen's like, well, 15 seconds plays over. I'm going to go back to the, oh my God, the guy still has the ball. Where's the defense? Oh, geez, burned over the top, and Tyron throws his hands up. Like that. So you can sit there and cite bad eye leverage. I will cite bad defensive line play. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and start like we're really deep into the weeds, fellas, if we're going to
and I think
poor
that,
eye leverage
and I
right
think
now.
They are.
Maybe Tyron Matthew
are,
wasn't
Bob.
Throwing his arms, or maybe he was flapping. Just let
oh, that's
know
what
there
distracted
him.
Don't look
bird.
At the butterfly.
Hey, bird!
I mean, we're really down in the weeds right now, Josh. Right. And you say maybe we are because they are so pathetically bad on defense right now.
You're breaking it down.
Look, I'm offering up onside kicks on every play, so maybe the eye leverage thing is like, I got nothing else, man. Focus on your guy.
Yeah.
Play better.
How confident is Dave Merritt they could turn this around?
To answer that question, I would say this. When you
not confident
get the guys focusing on a specific leverage point, you can shore it up real quick. Now, what your mama put in you and my mama put in me is a little what? Different, okay? Meaning that, okay, you probably can out-jump me. My vertical is probably 6 inches. Yours is probably 15 inches. I can't jump anymore. But when it comes to, if you can get the eyes to focus in, the guys, all of them, to focus in on keying one thing, because if you chase two rabbits, you're going to miss both of them. But if you can focus in, I use the analogy all the time in golf because I love golf. If you can pick a small target to focus in on, your success rate goes way up. Now, your skill set and what you're working on as far as, you know, your change of direction, you got to get some of that done during the week. But if you can get the guy's eyes focused on a particular point, for instance, if I'm playing man-to-man, my eyes are not up towards the head level or the shoulders because they shake all the time. I got to take the eyes down to the hips. And so the hips are going to allow me to find out where that guy is breaking
lie.
And then at that point burst and accelerate.
I mean, this really does sound like high school football day one. He's got the meat eating
right
out of his hand
hurts.
There today, doesn't he? Oh,
he stepped on his punchline.
Yeah, you got the punchline at the end.
Calf hurts.
Here, punchline at the end, Eric. Let's get it again.
Accelerate. So I wasn't joking about that jumping thing either. Cannot jump. My right calf hurts.
There you go. One, there ain't a damn person in that room that could has a 15-inch vertical that you were talking to.
There's not a person in that room that could out-jump Dave Merritt.
No.
I promise you.
Yeah,
the guy's
Pete
an NFL head coach.
Pete Sweeney was there.
Now, I mean, Pete is doing the half marathon this weekend, and I'm very proud of him
he
for that.
He stays low to the ground, though, when he's
but
doing
Dave
that.
Merritt played in the NFL. He played with the Dolphins. He played with the Cardinals. He played in NFL Europe. I mean, this is a guy that's got
who's
a career in the National Football League. So I don't think that Pete Sweeney could out-jump a former NFL player.
He said his calf hurt, Bob.
It does. Even with a hurt calf, I guarantee. No. He could out jump.
Remember
a lot
when
of
Sean
it.
Barber came to the 6'10" combine and did like twice the long jump everybody else? Did.
Correct, exactly.
I don't think he warmed up or anything.
No, he just stood there
he had
like
jeans on,
housed a gallon of water and spiked it and ran away.
And
Sean
left.
Barber
yeah.
comes out in church shoes and jumps.
He out jumps everybody. Yeah, I mean it was
Sean
incredible.
Did one event bounce. He's like, I got you guys.
Yeah, I got. All right, I'm done. This is embarrassing. I don't want to embarrass you guys anymore. I'm leaving. I mean, yeah. You know. So Dave Merritt's a former football player. He played at NC State. I mean, this is a guy that has a career of playing in the NFL and is an athlete and is in pretty good shape today. Looking at the media crew that was assembled, other than Pete Sweeney, I don't know that anybody else has ever run. So, you know, to me, Dave Merritt can still outjump those guys. But this, you know, I'm listening.
Nate Taylor can get up, though. He's still young.
Herbie's is he young
in,
enough?
Herbie's in good shape.
Herbie's
too.
In good shape? Okay.
Of course.
All right. I don't consider him a vert guy, though. He's shorter. I don't think he's got great ups.
I mean, that seems... Nate Robinson was short.
Yeah. Spud Webb was short.
Bugsy Bogues was short.
I don't think I've ever heard of Herbie out here dunking. So.
Okay, maybe not. I'd
you
love
think
to be
Herbie
able to dunk.
Could windmill on some fools?
No, probably not.
I'm not thinking
that.
Nate's young.
Not with that
he
attitude.
Could probably... Nate's young, you'd probably do it. Pete's young.
He definitely can't outjump Alex Gold, we'll tell you that right now.
It's true.
I feel like Vahe would surprise you.
Vahe probably has good ups, right? Yeah, Vahe has good ups. But I think when I'm listening to Dave Merritt, in all seriousness now,
it's gotten to this phase where you're so they are working on the basics.
I mean, I had a flashback to high school football, Josh, listening to them say, don't look at the shoulders, focus in on the belt, they used to tell us, right? The belt buckle. And Dave Merritt's telling this to NFL players right now. Focus in on the belt buckle. Don't look at their shoulders. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy right now. We're back to square zero minus 10.
That's what it takes.
When
we say get better and whatever, we got to. You're doing it your way. It ain't working. We're going to break it down. We're going to make it simple. We're going to go back to basics. Feels like that's
isn't this like May? Like you should be doing this kind of stuff in May?
Well, no,
and
probably not in the pros at all. But
but focusing in on the belt, we're not talking about tackling or blocking. We're just focusing in on the belt. Can't you do like that's May, June, July type stuff? Yep. Like, I mean, we're going into week six now, and we're already in week six because of the Thursday night game, and we're sitting here talking about, all right, here's what we need to do. Here's how you properly tackle.
Better leverage.
Good Lord, we're back. But, I mean, if you have to break them down, you got to break them down because it sure seems like to me, much like us as fans, the coaching staff is out of answers as well. They're like, what else are we supposed to do? This scheme works. It's won Super Bowls. You guys are getting paid a lot of money. You're good football players. Why isn't it working? I mean, I got to think right now, Josh, the defensive staff probably is as frustrated as they've ever been here in Kansas City because they've got players. They just don't have anybody making plays right now.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. We're not through the end of the baseball playoffs yet, but we had a managerial change already, of all places in St. Louis.
This
Mike Schilt
shocker
is out as the manager of the Cardinals.
Who cares?
Well, it's fun, right?
Yeah. When the Cardinals do something like this, came out of the blue. This came out of the blue. And I don't know if you saw the comments yesterday from their, general manager, president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, yesterday, who was asked the question, what was Mike Schilt's reaction when you told him? And his response was, oh, he was shocked. I mean, here's a guy who led a team to 17 straight wins, gets into the wild card, and then is fired at the end of the season. And I talked to some folks yesterday, and they're like, oh, this was a guy who thought he was bigger than the organization. And he was one of those guys. You know, you have that guy at your work that's always like, this place can't survive without me.
90-win team.
Yeah, yeah. So clearly this guy was, talking all about himself, and it was a me, me, me type of thing and not an us, 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 and a we type of thing. And when you have that type of...
All the way home?
All the way home. You beat him to it.
On the other side of the room.
Yeah, you beat him to it. But when you have that kind of guy who believes he was bigger than the organization, from what I was told, that's going to get you run every day of the week, no matter what industry you work in. The minute you think you're bigger than everybody else and you're bigger than the organization and you're more important than the organization, that's the minute the organization tells you, you know what, we're going to be just fine without you. Why don't you move on down the old dusty trail and we'll find ourselves another manager that's going to kind of be on board with everything, that's going on here. I also heard like he would run a lot of stuff through Yadier Molina. Like, why are you running stuff through the I don't care how good Yadier Molina is. He's not the manager nor a coach on this team. He's a player on this team.
Well, and catchers are the most heady ones, and they always become good managers.
Yeah,
so
right.
Wouldn't you run some of your stuff through your catcher?
Not decisions like that are affecting the team. So they were clearly not on the same page in St. Louis, but still, it came as a shocker to everybody.
You don't want
to the postseason.
You don't want any consulting with Salvi?
Not on personnel decisions or managerial decisions or stuff like that. No, I think you leave the players out. That's not fair to the player to put them in the middle of that.
I guess it depends to what extent you're talking about, because I think it'd be smart to get the pulse of your team through a Molina or a
I don't think he was looking for the pulse of the team. I think he was treating like Yadi as a coach and letting Yadi have decisions that he probably shouldn't be involved in.
Well, that's
so
no good.
No, you can't.
I think in this day and age, too, it's
that.
Especially in baseball, it is much easier to be fired even with success.
Yeah.
Because there's so many hands in it now with the analytics and what have you and the philosophies of, kind of colliding at times. It'd be much, much easier to get fired even despite success right
sure,
now.
Sure, absolutely. And I think you have the analytic department
right
now.
I'm not on board with where you're going. We all won 90 games together, but I'm not really on board. Okay, well, this is what we're on board with. So
right, this is what we're doing.
Or you're not.
Yeah.
I would think it's much, much easier these days to make those kinds of moves that aren't as shocking anymore.
Right. Because
you're looking for a person that can manage people and personalities and can be a puppet for your analytics.
That's essentially what it is, yeah. Like Dave Roberts yesterday, wasn't my decision. We all had a vote, and I only get one.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I watched Moneyball recently, and like Art Howe was not a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, he was not. He's like, just leave me the bleep alone. I make the lineups. I do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they start meddling. And he's like, I'm not doing this. I
just rest in peace, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I just feel like there's a lot of those that could potentially happen right now. Like, I got into managing because I was going to manage, not be managed.
No, you're a puppet for a lot for a lot of organizations right now. You are a puppet to the guys in the front office who run the analytics.
I guess I didn't realize yesterday. Did we know Jerry Seinfeld went to the Chiefs media conference?
I did not.
So Seinfeld was in the media room yesterday.
I missed this one.
Because he asked Steve Spagnuolo, what's the deal with Daniel Sorensen?
First of all, it's not about one guy. I mean, you started the question with it's an overall, we haven't been good. That's a true statement. That's reality.
Yeah.
To focus on one person, I don't think is fair. Right. Did Dan struggle a little bit last week? Yeah. In answer to your question about the more snaps and all that, we take, you know, a guy has a starting position. We think he's been doing a good job with that. Sometimes when you have plays that to the eye of everybody in there look worse than other ones, nobody sees the plays that he's making when you're covering somebody and don't throw it there. That's always been the case. So I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I think Dan's had a lot of good snaps for us. One will play for us as well. We'll work through who's playing where, what we're doing package-wise. I'm not going to go deep into that because we're getting ready to play a team. I'm not going to tell everybody what we're doing. But I get your question. I don't know if I've answered your question, but that's about what I would say on that.
So that's Steve Spagnuolo on Daniel Sorensen. What I've been trying to say is it's not always one play, one player. And he's like, you don't see when they don't throw that direction. No, it's glaring,
it's true,
though, when they do.
Yeah.
It's glaring when they do with Daniel Sorensen right now.
Right.
He may be wrong man at the wrong place at the wrong time a lot right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, that's not to say he hasn't made some plays, but, boy, he seems to be in the middle of a lot of them, right?
Well, it's just like an umpire or a referee. When they make a good call, you don't hear from them, you don't see them. An offensive lineman, when they do their job, we don't talk about them. Same thing with a defensive back. You only talk about those defensive backs when they get burned because it's so glaring. And how many times over the course of a game, we had the two plays that Daniel Sorensen got beat on that were pretty bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many offensive plays were run in that game by the Buffalo Bills, 68 offensive plays or something like that, I think they had, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be mistaken on that one, but say roughly 65 plays in that game. And if he only got burnt on two of those plays, now they were big plays, you can't take that away, but that means the other 63 plays, he was probably doing his job, but it's the bad ones that stand out. And that's why, for me, I'm never going to sit here and just criticize one player. To me, it's a complete team effort right now. As we talked about, Dan Sorensen's looking, you know, at the receiver. 15 seconds goes by, and then he gives up because the defensive line should have been pressuring the quarterback.
He loses his eye leverage.
You lose your eye leverage at that point in time. Or you lose your stamina, or you get bored because it's been 15 seconds. I can't do this anymore. I mean, I'm sure the play – oh, my God, the play's not over. And so then Daniel Sorensen gets burned. Had the defensive line –
57
plays. So 55 of the 57 he may have done his job on. We don't talk about those. Coaches have to look at that. Coaches have to decide that. And if they decide 55 out of the 57, he did his job, he got burned on two, you can clean that up. He's still better than your alternative. Then you're going to go out there and you're going to play Daniel Sorensen or whoever the player may be. But I think it's just such a trickle-down effect that I don't know that Daniel Sorensen gets burned if the front seven are doing their job. It's tough for anybody in the NFL to cover at that point in time when you're getting no pressure on the quarterback.
Dave Merritt, the defensive backs coach for the Chiefs, was asked about messages to Juan Thornhill in the midst of this.
The thing is, with Juan, I tell all my guys, you're all the starters. Everybody's a starter, whether you're the backup scout team player or whether you're the starting free or strong safety. Juan plays. Last week, I think he had over 25 snaps. So the message for Juan is stay ready because you never know when you're going to be called. So whenever they call you, you better make sure you're ready. Don't try to get ready after the fact.
And by they, I don't think he means fans. I don't think. Just clarifying, I'm not sure. When they call for you, it would be like Spags.
Spags.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Just, or
just
Andy.
Checking. Just checking on that one.
Yeah. No, because the fans have been calling for him for a while, so right. He's been ready.
Well, we've lamented the defense. There's a group of rookies who are off to solid starts for the Chiefs. Next.
We'll be back after this commercial.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.